God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. The Lord said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to Disciples View. If you had a family member on that airplane, or in that Black Hawk helicopter, may God be with you. I can't relate emotionally to the loss of a person suddenly that way. I've heard about it. I've had the shock of having a friend of mine killed in combat. That's as close as I get to suddenly, but Mark was in Ukraine, but not Russia. Don't worry. See, it was a shock. It was horrifying, and it was, well, I hate to say it, but always kind of expected. But not so when someone is simply flying around America. Maybe in the Black Hawk, that is a line of duty that people tend to think, but then on our shores? And there's time to talk about, and I saw President Trump make a statement about DEI, and I think that's probably something that we should look at. It almost certainly is at air traffic control. And I think there's a time for that. But I think there's also a time to reflect on the fact that there are things that only Jesus Christ can heal. Only Jesus is really going to provide that answer for why. Why did this happen? And it might just be as simple as this. We're broken people. Death was not supposed to be our future. It's something our predecessors chose because they chose to move apart from God. They chose to supplant their tiny little bits of wisdom for the all-knowing, all-seeing Alpha and Omega who has always existed and will always exist and sees all outcomes and all options. They chose their tiny view of things. So why do things like this happen? Well, broken world. There's some things that only Jesus can fix. I think so often about that phrase, Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. And I think of the crash and Jesus weeping. Man, it wasn't supposed to be this way. There's so many ways to interpret Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus weeping because they don't believe I can raise the dead. Weeping because Jesus knew there were people who were about to witness him take man from death to life, who were going to run and tell the Pharisees. Or was it Jesus weeping because of the stench of death? Because it wasn't supposed to be this way. There will be efforts to say this is a God who doesn't care. Why would he let this bad thing happen to all these good people? And here's what we can rest on is that God knows where they're going. He's offered each and every one of us an opportunity at death to know where we're going. I can't relate to being in an airplane flying and then you're just gone. None of us can. We've never been through it. We can relate to the fear of, oh my gosh, my airplane's going to crash. But relating to you're there and then you're gone, none of us have had it. But at that moment, right now, today, this moment, there's something that Jesus can fix, and that is death. It's the only way that death can be fixed so that it is not misery for those who die. For those who die and go into the arms of the loving God who knit you together in your womb, your mother's womb, who knows every hair in your head, that loving God who loves you on a personal basis, even with all of our foibles, all of our mistakes, that loving God, you go home. He's so glad to see you. And he throws his arms around you. You're home. I don't know how many people in those flights, or on the Black Hawk and on American Airlines flight, I don't know how many people there had decided to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then made the subsequent decision to abide with him. I don't think you know either. But those who did have arrived where that loving God wants them to be. And I'm not going to belabor the other side of the spectrum because it would be cruel. People know. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. People know. But there's a loneliness that comes with this as well. And there's an audio piece I want to share with you. A young man posted. And it's gotten a lot of views and traffic. And man, it's a sad video. And it's something that only Jesus can fix. And I'll play this for you in a second. I will tell you, I was on an airplane once that felt like it was going to crash. We were flying into Salt Lake City, and there was horrible crosswinds. And the pilot had made 3 attempts to land. And each time we got near the airport and we could see the airport, we had the worst of combinations. That is, the wings going back and forth, up and down. The plane is rocking side to side. The plane is swishing back and forth. The front of the train, plane left, right. And the plane was being absolutely rocked by turbulence. So up and down in front, swishing side to side. The wings going up and down, leaning, and then boom, 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 boom. Rocking on these horrible turbulence. And we'd been told to secure ourselves, to take the crash position. And one of the flight attendants at one time yelled to me because I was on a window. She goes, open your shade. And I opened it. She goes, can you see the ground? I go, I do not see the ground. And there was a little girl next to me who was crying. And so I lied to her. I said, she was with her mom, and they were both crying. I said to the little girl, honey, are you afraid we're going to crash? Yes. Oh, sweetie, I've been in a lot of airplane crashes. This isn't the way they happen. You have? Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of them. This isn't the way airplanes crash. Let's pray. Let's pray for the pilots. Let's pray to God. Now, I lied, and then said, let's pray to God. Was that wrong? We made it. I'm here. And the pilot announced, hey, we're going to have a hard landing. I'm going to have to set this plane down from a lot higher than I'd like. I'm going to basically have to shut the engines off. And he did it. And we made it. And the applause. The applause. Everybody, without fail, stopped at that cabin door to look him in the eye and say, thank you. God gave that man a gift. There's some things only Jesus can fix. I want you to hear this, and I want you to join me in prayer for this man. He posted this on originally TikTok. It's gotten a lot of attention. He's having trouble holding himself together as he films this, holding his phone up, looking into the mirror.
I actually redone this a couple of times, but my name is Jeremy Hopper, and it's nice to meet y'all, to anyone who sees this. But I'm the last member of my family left. There ain't nobody else. They've passed away. I'm 27, and my mama died before she was even 40. My baby brother and baby sister both passed away as infants. And today I realize that if anything were to happen to me today, not a single person on this earth would know I was gone. And I truly doubt anyone would care. And I want some record that I existed, that I was here.
Nice to meet you, Jeremy. I see the picture of the dog behind you. It's good to have someone, even if it's a dog. Brother, that is a heavy weight. Brother, that hurts. You seem really despondent to me. If I were you, I think I'd wonder if anyone can care. And here's my hope. That you can hear someone tell you, brother, that pain is because you were designed for perfection, Jeremy. You are not designed to be alone. God himself said it is not good that man is alone. And I want to ask you to join our family. I'm not the head of it. But Jesus Christ, who is the head of that family, Jeremy, he loves you so much. He gave his life for you. And not so you could be lonely. So that you can bring this burden you carry to him, give it to him, and he will take it off your back. There's something called the body of Christ, Jeremy, and I want you to become part of it. I want you to have surrogate fathers who abide in the Lord and want to be with you because they love you, because you're created by God. Jeremy, they'll love you before you meet them. They'll love you because God loved them first. And they're going to be so thrilled to see you when you walk in that church door. Find a church with good greeters. They stand at the door and their job is to greet. Tell them, I'm alone. And a good church, Jeremy, they'll bring you in. Because that's what we're called to do. We have this thing in the body of Christ that when one member of the body hurts, we are all to hurt. Because our existence here is to build a kingdom that one day, Jeremy, you can inhabit forever. And there will never be a sense of loneliness. There'll never be a sense of need. And this is absolutely yours right now. All you need to do is simply say, Jesus Christ, come into my life. Lord, I know, Jesus, you are the Son of God. I know you are God. I know you are the Messiah. I know you're my Savior. I want to be changed by you. I want to serve you. I want to abide with you. Bring me into the body of Christ. Please bring me into the body of Christ. Because, Jeremy, we can't solve this series of horrible, weighty things that have gone on for you. We can bring you into a family of other people who have suffered in different ways than you, some even very close to you. And we can bring you into a light that shines so brightly that not even the darkness can overcome it. We started the program today talking about the airplane crash, and if those crashes scare you, maybe you don't know where you're going when you die. We'll get into some actual news as we continue. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Next segment, we'll get to a personal note to the Tower Babbling. The capturing of institutions is a very, it's kind of a military type affair. You know, you've got captains of tens and captains of hundreds and thousands. And, you know, we know that Satan organizes his army this way. And then there's the mental and spiritual capture. And the word Catholic, my understanding is that word cannot be, it can't really be trademarked. You can't have an official Catholic church. You can. I mean, there are churches that are officially recognized by Rome and the Roman Catholic Church, but anyone can go form a Catholic organization. And the magic words phenomena and Catholic is really a fascinating study. Do you know my theory of magic words? Magic words exist to end conversation. So, you know, we've been watching, or at least I have, the RFK hearings. We talked about that in the first segment. Vaccine is a magic word. When people hear vaccine, then you are taught that these are miracle-creating drugs that we mankind would not exist without vaccines. They must not be criticized. They are sacrosanct. It's a vaccine is a word used to shut down conversation. If you say gene sequencing device or gene hijacking device, people go, "Whoa, wait a minute! I don't want any. I don't want any gene editing devices in my body. That sounds scary." Well, that's what the COVID shots were. See, that's also a magic word. It happens to be accurate. So Catholic is a magic word for a lot of people. And Satan knows this, obviously. He's a tactician and a strategist from way back. He can't create his own scripture. I mean, there's a satanic Bible, but it gets no traction. He's just not a creator. He can't. There's no creativity. There's no love, no joy. He can't create from a perspective of joy. He can only tear down. So he tears down God's words in these counterfeit ways. There's a group called Catholic Charities. Now, perhaps they do fantastic work in some arenas. But they certainly don't respect Romans 13. Or even pretend to, really. They've released some information on how illegals can avoid interacting with ICE. And it's a Catholic organization that, interestingly, also gets your money by force. Taxation is force. We are told to give in to that force. The only reason I pay taxes to this corrupt government is because Jesus said to. That's it. Full stop. Now, I think it's less corrupt under President Trump, easier to pay taxes psychologically, but that's the reason I do it. It seems to me that the Catholic Church, though I have real, and do you have problems with this Pope? I don't believe he's a Christian. He can't be. The man is on record saying that all religions lead to God. There is no one way to God. You cannot follow Jesus Christ and turn around and say Jesus lied. He is not the way, the truth, and the life. In fact, anyone can get to the Father through any means. That to me disqualifies them as Christian. But if there were a pope that was more faithful, or let's say faithful, it'd be really wise for the Catholic Church to begin to expose entities like this and to label them for what they are. And I know there's some U.S. bishops who do a very good job at this. I know there's some very faithful U.S. bishops who fight against groups like this. But listen to this presentation or part of it from the Catholic Charities organization.
Hi, my name's Barb Graham, and I'm an attorney at Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee in the Refugee and Immigration Services Program. This is a video about knowing your rights if Immigration and Customs Enforcement approaches you. All people living in the United States, including people who are undocumented, have certain rights under the United States Constitution. If immigration officers, what we sometimes call Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, come to your workplace, they must have a valid search warrant or the consent of your employer to enter non-public areas. If you are undocumented, an immigration officer...
Okay, let's pause. What she's saying is correct, but she just issued the tell. They are not seeking people who lost their driver's licenses or forgot to take them to work. They're seeking people who do not have documents because they have broken the law to be here. This is the job of the Catholic Church.
Officers, come to your workplace. Be aware of the following. First, do not panic and do not run away. If you are frightened and feel like you need to leave, you can calmly walk toward the exit. If you are stopped, you may ask if you are free to leave. If the officer says no, do not try to exit the building. If you are questioned, you may tell them you want to remain silent. Two, you have the right to remain silent. You do not need to speak to the immigration authorities or answer any questions. If you are asked where you were born or how you entered the United States, you may simply refuse to answer or remain silent. If you choose to remain silent, say so out loud. If they ask you to stand in a group according to your immigration status, you do not have to move. Or you can move to an area that is not designated for any particular group.
She's a lawyer and she's doing a good job of stating their rights. She has the tell, the giveaway, that she's pretending this is about people who are not documented. It's about people who broke the law to come here. So why is it so outrageous? Where's the part about go home? Where's the part about you are not to break our laws? Where's the part honoring Romans 13 to obey the authorities? Because all authorities come from God. It's not there. Wouldn't a Catholic organization's lawyers, I mean, these are lawyers, not priests. This isn't confession. Wouldn't they be saying, hey, you know what? You broke the law and you need to get right with that. So you need to go home. Now, if they've been given refugee status, that's different, although under the people who run Joe Biden, everybody was a refugee. They didn't bother to check because they wanted the country flooded with illegal immigrants for reasons we've discussed. So the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, the Catholic Church would be wise to rate that archdiocese. Is it faithful? I don't think that sounds faithful to me, but then again, I'm not Catholic. And I want to respect the Catholic faith, so I'd love to know what you think. You can email me at thetoddhermanshow.com and tell me what you think. The capturing of institutions also affects non-Catholic churches, obviously, because Satan's going to try to spread his influence. This is not an outrageous statement. It is not, I think, it's not provocative, but it's spoken from the pulpit. And this is Pastor Matt Crawford at Trinity Baptist Church in Cordova. And again, I don't think he is tossing rhetorical grenades. I don't think he's particularly animated in hatred against President Trump or anything like that. But I have an observation, and maybe you'll notice this too. Again, this is from the pulpit. Matt Crawford at Trinity Baptist Church in Cordova.
I want to stop before we begin our service and just talk briefly with you about something that's a little bit sensitive. Some of us may have different opinions on this. Some of us may have strong opinions on this. And I ask you to consider it with love and grace and the spirit of unity that our church has consistently been marked by. And it has to do with this issue of what's going on with immigration in our country right now and some of the actions that are being taken. And I think we all believe in the rule of law. I certainly do. I hope that we can believe both in the rule of law and feel that we don't want worship services disrupted by that. I hope that me saying that doesn't anger you. But I wanted to address that. Hopefully we can talk about things with unity and nuance and even differences of opinion because it's on the hearts of some of our people. Elizabeth Richards is going to pray about it during our intercessory prayer time. So I hope that we can give each other grace if we disagree on the details there. Be a unified church because the unity of the Church of Jesus Christ is so important.
Amen. Oh, amen. We're not to break up the body of Christ. Amen, Pastor. Here's my question. Where is the Word of God in that? It was a preface to the sermon, but where is the word of God in that? I think there's something really wise that President Trump could do in regard to immigration, wise and merciful. I think that he should look for examples of people who came here illegally to be pardoned. My father desires mercy, not sacrifice. President Trump's not God or anything like God. But how phenomenal would it be if he opened his heart and in a way our collective hearts to showing the mercy that God shows us. Now, we can't earn God's mercy. The sacrifice of Jesus is a gift given freely out of love. It's nothing we can earn. Our redemption, we can't earn God's mercy. He gives it because he is mercy. He is love. He is mercy. We are not love or mercy. We can be merciful and loving through the Holy Spirit. I think it would be a fantastic idea for President Trump's team to begin reviewing immigration cases for instances where people have been outstanding in how they've responded to being here since they broke the law to get here. I can think of a couple of different cases. Back in the separate country of Washington State, there was a man who saved three people from a burning home, and he ran away after he saved them because it turned out that he was an illegal immigrant. And he was found out. It surfaced that he was illegal. It also surfaced that he worked very diligently in a job, that he had taken the very, very exacting step of paying taxes through a friend's Social Security number because he wanted to pay taxes to have them attributed. He didn't get the benefit of having paid the taxes. He was paying them through a friend's Social Security number because he wanted to support the country he was living in. He felt honored to do that. And I remember even on conservative radio, people said, this is a guy, he should get first in line to stay. Have him leave the country, come back in legally, pay some fines and stay. And even, I think it was, one of my friends in conservative radio started a fund to help the guy get a good immigration lawyer. What about a pardon in a case like that? You can earn human mercy, not that from God. And I think that would show that our hearts are not about harming people. Our hearts are about reinstalling the rule of law because God is a God of order, not chaos. So you have announcements like that at the same time as you have announcements that we've removed very violent criminals who prey upon women and children in the most horrific ways. See, the church that's been captured, and I'm not saying that Trinity Baptist Church has been captured. That's a brief soundbite from that pastor. My question was, where is the word of God? But I do think that many, many churches have been captured. In fact, it's self-evident. And there's so much work to do as a church body. There are some challenges in life that I think only Jesus can solve. This really, really went viral on social media. It's a 27-year-old man who has realized something about his station in life.
I actually redone this a couple of times, but my name is Jeremy Hopper, and it's nice to meet y'all, to anyone who sees this. But I'm the last member of my family left. There ain't nobody else. They've passed away. I'm 27, and my mama died before she was even 40. My baby brother and baby sister both passed away as infants. And today I realize that if anything were to happen to me today, not a single person on this earth would know I was gone. And I truly doubt anyone would care. And I want some record that I existed, that I was here.
Man, that's hard, isn't it? So there's a record, and people know the brother exists, but what? some problems only Jesus can solve. And those problems obviously are eternal. But in a case like that, there's a larger family. And Pastor Crawford, speaking about the debate on immigration at his church, said, "Let us not divide the family again." Praise God, Pastor. But let us also grow the family. Churches that have been captured exist to dissuade people from being part of the family. They exist to block people from heaven. They exist to give people a fake heaven, which exists now, which is largely predicated upon you can thrill your flesh in every possible way, and there'll be a record of you existing because you will have thrilled a bunch of flesh. And then, the next time the earth is rebuilt, it will come after a massive fire. There'll be a record because you are a soul, eternal, and will always exist. The question is where? If you have not made a decision for Jesus yet, do it now. Because no one knows the day or the time. No one. We'll come back with the disciple, with the Tower Babbling and a personal note, some notes from listeners. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Hey, thanks again for listening to AFR and Disciples View. You can join in becoming an AFR funder. We exist largely, almost exclusively, I mean, there are some underwriters, but almost exclusively on your donations, which are tax deductible. And when if you go donate at AFR.net, and if you can, make it a monthly donation. That's so vital for organizations like AFR, for leadership to be able to wisely steward funds. And they do a Man, do they guard funds here? Well, they so safeguard the monies. When you do that, you also get access to AFR Stream, so you can listen to any of these shows at your leisure if you happen to miss one, and or you want to go back and hear one again or play one for a friend, because there are reasons that people do that. This is from Philip from Louisiana. Please tell me the city. I have a little map I keep from where we get emails. It's just fun for me. And Philip writes, "Dear Todd, I was listening to your program and you got a note from someone who was asking you for source material. And you mentioned a website that you use for source material or where you store yours. Could you mention that again? I ask because a lot of things you talk about seem unbelievable. When I Google them, I often get right-wing sources. And I want to be able to share them with some friends who are more liberal, but they won't look at anything that's right-wing. So could you share that show thing you talked about? Love the program on AFR. God bless you for what you do." Yeah, Philip, that was at my Substack. And it won't be all the source information from the AFR show, which is a different program. But if it's the big topics of the day, it'll largely be there. You can go to thetoddhermanshow.substack.com. TheToddHermanShow.substack.com. I appreciate you listening. Thanks for that. This is from Corey. And Corey writes from Dallas, Texas. "Dear Todd, I listen to AFR on an almost daily basis. Rarely miss your program. And my question for you comes from a perspective of what you share in your personal notes. Do you ever worry that you are being too personal? I've never heard a radio host more willing to share himself with the audience, and I wonder sometimes if it hurts your family members. You shared the other day about your mom and the theological debates you're having. You've shared about your sister, and I wonder, does it ever harm people or worry them? And do you worry that you just expose yourself too much? The left could use this to hurt you, and I worry about it myself." Thanks for the note, Corey. I appreciate that, and thank you for listening. My family members know what I do. And I would never share anything intensely personal that they wouldn't share. So for instance, my mom, who has gone from being a lapsed Catholic to now attending what I think is a heretical church, and the main thing they worship is human sexuality. That's my mom's idol. My mom will tell anybody about her views on faith and that the Bible is wrong. Well, she contends there are many Bibles. So she doesn't believe that there's just one Bible, that there's many, many Bibles, and that all these great experts have suddenly discovered that the apostles didn't really understand human sexuality. You know the game. So she would tell that to anybody, so I don't feel hesitant sharing it with you because my mom would say it to your face. In regard to the struggles with my sister and what she's been through, my sister is legitimately horrified of President Trump, considers him the devil, believes he's a rapist, and is very angry at me for voting for him. And my sister would tell you that to your face. My sister is not a shy woman. No, that's not true. She is a shy woman, but she's not afraid of speaking up. And she would tell you these things. They're on her social media. Now, in regard to some of the personal things I share with you, I shared on Wednesday that some days it's difficult for me to not want to go to Jesus. Well, no, that's not what I said. This is the accurate statement. Sometimes I want to go to Jesus. I feel done with this world. And I said in that time, I am not going to commit suicide. I am fanatical about my health and my nutrition. One of my sources of joy is extreme exercise. I am nuts about how I track the input of calories and my macrobiotics and probably too nuts. Do I worry about sharing that? No. If the left wanted to come and get me, they could on any number of ways. They could just plant things. They could make up lies. They've done that to me. I've been through that cycle. I've been targeted. A writer at the New York Times tried to loop me in to January 6th. He made an effort to see to it that I was taken to Washington, D.C. and forced to testify. And he wrote to my radio bosses in Seattle when I had the morning show. And God bless him for that and that great opportunity. And I wouldn't be here without that step and 5 years of market dominance. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for that. So he sent this note to the program director there and said, one of your hosts was on the Rush Limbaugh program. And he said that there were Antifa activists breaking into the building. And I want to know where he got that information because that has been debunked, totally debunked. And he wrote this as I was the source of disinformation. So my bosses panicked and said, you got to respond to this. You got to get with this guy right away. And I said to my boss, with all due respect, no. This is about me, not you. Well, it can affect us. I said, no, I said this on Rush's show, not yours. And I'm not going to respond right away. I'm certainly not going to panic because what I said was accurate. What I said was the tactics they are using to break into the buildings are tactics Antifa has used for the past year and a half in Portland, using barricades as ladders, wearing helmets. So not only do you have head protection, but you can't be identified, dressing all in black, which makes it difficult to track down bodily features, etc. These are Antifa type tactics. And I said, it wouldn't surprise me if Antifa was here. That's what I said. So I wrote back to the New York Times reporter and said, I'm not going to have a phone conversation with you. I don't trust your organization. I think you're corrupt. So here is my statement in response. You can either publish my entire statement or simply say you wouldn't publish my entire statement. But you cannot say no comment because that's a lie. So he didn't publish it, but he sent it. I think he sent it to a Senate staffer who called me and said, we're going to want you to come and testify about what you said on Rush's show. I said, oh, really? He goes, yeah. Oh, my gosh, when? I can't wait. This is awesome. When? What? I mean, this is, you're going to have to be back here for up to a week. Okay, that's awesome. I cannot wait. Are you going to be bringing legal representation? No, gosh, no, I don't need any lawyers. No, no, I can't wait. Can we do it now? I never heard back. So the question is, am I worried that sometimes I'm too personal? No, because there are things I don't tell you. And here's the line. If I'm going to share something that could harm another person, and I do not know for a fact they would not want it spoken, I would never speak it here. So thanks, Corey, for the note. You can write to me at thetoddhermanshow.com. You can also send comments about the show to comments@afr.net, and that way the management gets to see those comments as well. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature cult, The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him...
The Tower of Babylon.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babylon. I know, people say you always say three. If I don't say that, we get letters. It's so funny the things that people value sometimes in radio shows. I mean, let me rephrase it. It's gorgeous. I love that people get addicted to segments like this. First soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Host Dana Bash and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, they had a very, very important conversation related to the future of the United States of America.
We have a very prominent figure who is very closely associated with the president standing up at a presidential rally and giving two Nazi salutes in a row. Now, if he didn't mean it, he should apologize. But he knows very well what those things mean. And even, again, if he didn't mean them, afterward you could say, and he should, I didn't mean that. That wasn't the symbol I was trying to show.
A... He did. B, it wasn't a Nazi salute. C, your party funds literal anti-Semitism, as in the kinetic kind, as in Hamas. JB. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. This is not a power broker, and the Tower Babbling is about wise people and tall towers of shaking sand. This woman is a victim of wise people on tall towers of shaking sand.
Listen, if I pull up to the Mexican restaurant and I see a truck, because let's face it, it's going to be a truck, with a Trump bumper sticker, you're getting keyed. I don't even want to see you at Taco Bell. The only thing you get to eat for the rest of your life is plain white bread and mayonnaise. And I know that you were going to eat a lot of that anyway, but that's all you deserve. You deserve nothing that tastes good for the rest of your life.
So, because white people, you know, eat mayonnaise, and I love mayonnaise. I'm eating mayonnaise right now. In fact, I am sitting down with 44 pieces of white bread, not even toasted, and I'm dipping it in 15 gallons of white mayonnaise. My sister is legitimately horrified and terrified of President Trump. That woman is too. Maybe I shouldn't mock her. Maybe I have no more business mocking her than anyone else, and I don't mock my sister, so we mock the power brokers. Here's the predicate. If you want the laws enforced, you hate tacos. And also Hitler. Make sense? Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Remember the singer Jewel? I can't remember the hit she had a few years ago, a decade ago. It was really good. I think she's a talented woman. She has been campaigning for food freedom for a long time and for healthy foods and organic foods. So she made a horrible mistake. She went and performed at an RFK Jr. inaugural Make America Healthy Again Ball.
And I am so sorry that I caused pain. especially in my LGBTQIA plus community, because you guys are treasures. You make the world a better place. You've made my life a better place.
Your sexual activity makes the world a better place. Your sexual activity that is not reproductive makes the world a better place. Okay. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babylon.
That was the Tower of Babylon.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is. Yes.
On a Disciple's View.
On a quick personal note today, just to continue the question, I think it was Corey from Dallas asked about, do I ever fear I'm too personal on this? No, I fear I'm not personal enough. There are topics I haven't yet figured out how to address on national radio. And when I do figure them out, it's going to be one heck of a personal note. But I can tell you this. No personal note is scripted. So what comes out of my mouth is what God wants to come out of my mouth. And there are people hurting. There are people who are terrified of President Trump. There are people who believe, like my sister does, that he is the literal devil. And there's a couple different paths we can take here. We can own the libs and mock. I saw Ted Nugent the other day, once again, mocking vegans. I don't get that. I mean, who cares? They eat plants. The other path we can take is this. Allowing the Lord to do everything through us that he possibly can for our family members to have to struggle with something. It's this. How can my family member who is so loving, so warm, and so willing to give, how can they support President Trump? Well, because maybe it's this. Maybe we're not looking for a savior politician. Maybe it's because we're trapped in a world where there are two votes, two candidates who can possibly win. Maybe what you sense from us is the Holy Spirit. What you see in us is simply a vote like you do. Went long today. I'm simply going to say, on behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.